Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
All right, well, here we go. I was expecting Kool and the Gang celebration being played for our very first recap pod that's on video here, but that's just not how it is right now. Bo Rude, Nicholas Allen Baugh, the podcast studio. We're still very excited about it, but unfortunately, it's going to be another kind of somber recap pod where Frost, I thought it was Frost after the game, said it looked like the same movie.
Yeah, every writer in for the papers in Nebraska were like, yes, good. I've got my lead in. And, you know, it's like insert movie quote.
Right, right.
Easy. Right.
Like, everyone, Mitch Sherman of The Athletic, he ended up, he referenced a bunch of them. And then like his final line was like, but this movie looks more like The Titanic.
Isn't that great though? Like,
right.
If you're a coach, do you just go like, for writers to like me, give them
that was
that little
perfect
piece of like, meat to kind of
like, well, we know what this script tells us. Really, like, seriously, that was, I didn't think about that. You know, every writer was like, yes.
Yeah. I mean,
because you like, just think you write, because we've done this the same pod 50 times. They've written the same column reacting to this game 50 times. They needed something new, and Frost get, so you know what, Frost, give that man an extension. All right. Give that man an extension.
Yeah, I mean, there's all sorts of those little like cleats, you know. It's like, it was a dog day afternoon, right? For then it's like dog day.
Give him always had, you and your brother always had the Rude Awakening.
Yes.
For every headline in the Journal Star was like, Rude Awakening, Rude rushes for 3 touchdowns as Southeast wins.
I'm not
like, how many Rude Awakenings
I think happened? Between us, we've had, you know, 6 times in the paper, there's been a Rude Awakening.
Oh yeah, yes,
and that's great. I mean, it's easy though, but it's, like it but, writes
but,
the
but the media yeah. loves things like that are just put on a tee for them to go.
Yeah,
right?
Those just nice little nuggets that are just like
so. Ready because for, I figured we'd be no different. I mean, I wrote. I mean, is this movie Groundhog Day? Is it Edge of Tomorrow? Cruise.
Edge of Tomorrow,
kind of sneaky good.
Because you die a lot.
You die over and over and over and over and over and over again.
But I guess Groundhog Day, he did as well.
He did, but that was his own thing, you know?
But that was our choice, too.
That's true. Self-inflicted. Self-inflicted. Bill Murray, self-inflicted fatalities.
This is Groundhog Day.
Or the thing I thought about was shouts out to Pinky and the Brain. Remember how every Pinky and the Brain episode ended? It's like, what are we going to do tomorrow, Brian? The same thing we do every night, Pinky. Try to take over the world. It feels like it's like, what are we going to do next week, Frost? The same thing we do every week.
Find a way to lose
the game. Like almost feels more like Pinky in the Brain to me. I don't know. It's probably Groundhog Day, though, if we have to choose one.
It's Groundhog Day because we just can't get out of this. It's repetitive
thing.
And I think right now, if we were to take the temperature of Husker Nation, they feel like they're going insane. Like it's almost like an insanity check. Like, can we get out of this reoccurring nightmare of
that's it?
That's kind of what it is, right?
Especially when, like, because we're going too far with Groundhog Day here, but like Bill Murray got to where he knew the lay of the land and he would try to accomplish things knowing the obstacles. And sometimes he still couldn't do it, right?
Yeah.
Whether he was trying to get with Homegirl, his newscast partner, like did different things to try to seal the deal, and he still couldn't do it, right? Like he tried different things, and that's the thing that is so, that's why it's so almost applicable to Groundhog Day. It's like everybody knows the issues and they still trip up on them over and over and over again.
So, but let's stick with this, all right? So how does
two more minutes of Groundhog Day, and then we'll go.
So this, we'll apply this later. But the way he gets out of the movie is he tries everything, and then finally at the end of the movie, he just commits to just doing the right thing all the time,
right?
And doesn't try to like,
right,
for like, and it all works out when he
I
just
think I like that it, when he let okay
when and then it all starts coming to him. So I think maybe we can think about this. We can apply this later.
Okay. We'll revisit that. We'll circle back to that.
Okay.
Here's what I'm like. Usually the one thing about these recap pods is almost always we find some silver lining. We find some shred of optimism, something, right? It does feel like this might be the most challenging recap pod maybe we've ever done to find that. I'm not saying all hope is gone, but I'm saying at least for us in the next 90 minutes to really find, like, here's why it's all going to be okay, X, Y, Z, it's going to be pretty hard. Because we talked about how important this game was. If you would have asked me to just go to www.worstcasescenario.com, what happens in this game? I don't know if I would have even dreamed that it would have gone as bad as it went. Seriously.
And I think we're going to discuss these handful of plays.
Oh, yeah.
But the way those certain plays happened, the times they happened at, that's what is so difficult about yesterday and even like going through this, right?
Yeah.
But if you were to say, do I have some silver linings? I will.
Look at you! Look at you teasing. We're gonna tease Groundhog Day. How Bill Murray gets out of it to apply to Nebraska football, and you have silver linings here because I don't know, man. I mean, it's like I've said, the season is all about earning the fans' trust and patience back. Yeah. And at least for one game, that game did neither. And the reality is, just to frame it, Nebraska in year four with a four-year starting quarterback lost to a team that isn't good. Let's not kid ourselves. Illinois is not very good.
No.
In game one of year one of a new staff with a backup quarterback who had been a career backup for his entire time in college. Like, so any way you want to slice it, it's not good. And it's just, I guess we'll start with this before we get into, I took notes last night rewatching the game. It's just got to be, Bo, like, it's so demoralizing and disheartening and flat out concerning to seemingly spend the entire offseason talking about, preaching, and focusing on mental mistakes, special teams, a downhill running back driven run game, Martinez eliminating the turnovers. Yeah. And then for all those things to be preached every single day, and then in game one, go out and just whiff on all of them. It's got to be a major gut punch to the confidence for the players. It's got to be a major facepalm for the coaching staff. And then honestly, in some ways, it's a little bit of like, if you're a fan or a media member, it's got to make you question the coaches on some level of like, okay, you spent all this time, you've spent 8 months focusing on getting like mental mistakes, special teams, though, like just trying to do a little bit better at all those things. And they were all horrific again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all that is just demoralizing in a lot of ways.
Yeah, and you could see it. We talked a little bit about this beforehand, but you know, if you read the papers today, the media officially went into uh-oh mode.
Oh, yeah.
And we were talking about it, you know, the last couple weeks here of this offseason, you could feel the shift a little, but they needed to win this game to get the media off their back, and the media now is I think officially, like, they're not going to be gentle anymore.
Well, but the other thing too is
going forward.
It's not even just that you needed to win this game or the media was going to, you know, take the gloves off. But you needed to win. But it just, you couldn't lose like that.
That's
my thing. Like, if you lost, you lost. Like, I still think it would have been, I'm not going to be disingenuous and act like all these columns would have been like, and this movie actually has a fairy tale ending coming. Like, I'm not saying that, but it just couldn't go the way it went. It's almost unbelievable that it literally hit all of the notes of like all the things. Like, do we want to just get into it?
I want to get into it because
we need to stop talking.
I want to talk about the specific plays because there's a lot of nuance to how you should interpret them. That's
okay.
Why.
Okay. I wrote down, I should have done this before. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Oh, 11's got like a 50 subplots to it. 12, 13, 14, 15. I have like 15 things I wrote down for bullet points here.
And this is sticking with the movie theme. These are the scenes.
The cinematography for our movie recap here is going to be incredible, my friend.
Scene one of the night. It's called The Nightmare. One. Groundhog Day 2, The Nightmare.
Scene, here it is. Groundhog Day. I Got You, Babe. Starts.
Bill Murray wakes up. Scott Frost wakes up. I think I'm going to call a pass for Adrian Martino.
Okay, ridiculous.
What can I try here?
Here we go. We have to start with, I mean, Cam Taylor-Britt's decision on catching the punt at the one-inch line and then falling down in the end zone to throw it forward and get a safety is almost laughable. And it speaks to, there are a couple of things within that. One, it speaks to, he clearly predetermined, which we've all been there in moments as an athlete where, like, no matter what, I am bouncing this run outside. No matter what happens, yes. If I'm catching this ball, I'm shooting it. No matter what, I am whatever. He made a decision when he went back to return that punt, no matter what, I am catching this punt and making something happen. Yeah. When, see, this is where, you know, you want to blame Frost, but it's like.
That's what's so hard, Nick. That's your best football. That's the best guy in your
captain,
team.
Captain, best player on the team.
That's the best guy we got. And the best guy we got tried a little too hard and made a bonehead blunder. And so what do you do when your best player, who you trust more than anybody, makes the biggest mistake you can make?
That's right.
I don't know. I don't know what you say, like, to that.
The buck always stops with Frost. Yeah. I get all that. But at the same time, The last time I returned a punt was in Leon's midget football in, like, fifth grade, right? But even I know, what is the general rule of thumb as a punt returner? Where do you put your feet? At the 10-yard line.
And Cam Taylor-Britt knows this.
He knows that. That's
everybody knows it.
Don't tell me. That's where, like, I'd be hard as a coach. Like, I want to come to the podium if I was Frost. Like, just hold on one second. I know you guys all think I'm an idiot and a buffoon right now, yeah. But do you really think we have not told Cam Taylor-Britt and any of our punt returners to put your fucking feet at the 10-yard line? And if you'd go back at all, let it go. You really think we haven't told him that?
They told him that. They all know. Everyone knows. What happens in my – this is my estimation. Guys get in the game. The ball's in the air. They're running back. And they just – they don't, like, it becomes
thought, just
it, yeah
just
I mean some guys have
eludes them
are better at in the moment. They'll say, I think I'm getting close to 10, and they take a peek and they say, I'm letting it go,
right?
But, like, Cam Taylor-Britt made a bonehead play, and if he's your best player, same way he dropped a punt against Iowa last year. And you know what I said? I go, when my best players, like the best guys in my team, are making the mistakes, I kind of throw my hands up and go, like, that's just who we are. I mean, I don't blame a coach if the best player on my team can't make the play, because it's just like,
well, especially when it's elementary stuff too,
that's stuff I expect you to know in high school.
That's what I'm saying.
I expect you to know that in high school.
And we're playing the blame game here. And the reality is, it doesn't matter. They all get blamed. But at the same time, if we're, you know, everybody's wanting to crucify Frost, like, that's one instance where it's like,
It's just sort of, Nick, when I say, like, we talk about I'm going to talk about this a little bit. Frost used the word snake bit. You talk about football gods. Like, we make the wrong plays. Like, we make our bonehead plays, not in a game that's out of reach already. Right. The games that we should win, we make them to let a team like Illinois, like, in a game. And that's the problem with our team right now. It's like, it's this weird ability to make the absolute worst play at the worst moment.
Right.
And we're going to go through this game and hit these. But
it's just because in some ways now, Nebraska was able to rebound from this moment. But in some ways, that play set the tone for the game.
Oh, no doubt.
Because all – what's a travel roster? 50, 60-some? 60.
Sixty or 80, yeah.
Everybody on that sideline went, our best player, our captain, just – pissed his pants and now we're down 2-0.
Yeah.
When we've spent all offseason talking about how we're not going to piss our pants, and he pissed his pants. Like,
I almost think, like you said, there's a part of me that thinks he was so predetermined that, like, I'm going to catch every punt and return every punt this year. Like, he wants to be like, I respect that he wants to be a guy that wanted to do it all. He said, I want to play every special teams. I don't want to be the
field. I love Cam Taylor Britt, but it's
we got to love that attitude. And what an unfortunate way to start his punt return. Because now it's like,
here's the thing.
They might say you're not our punt return.
Well, I don't know. If I'm not mistaken, he never went back there again.
No,
but here's the thing. Another little, this is my, I put a little side note with this. Did you see who Cam Taylor Britt wasn't back there on the first punt return? It was Oliver Martin. And someone effing explained that to me.
Maybe it's
Frost just done that his whole time. It'll be Brody Belt. It'll be JD Spielman. Now it's going to be Wandale. It's like, pick a guy. If Cam's the guy, Cam's the guy. Now, I understand if you make a play like you just did, you maybe lose your job and it's over. But yeah. I don't like this situational, this time it's you, next time it's you. I don't like that stuff.
I would say the only time I understand is like if he had like a couple like long plays where he was a little gassed, maybe.
Maybe,
like,
yeah.
That's where I'll understand. Or it's like, I wondered if it's like somebody's a little bit better at catching, like the receivers are a little bit better than the DBs at catching punts.
I always feel like Westy would come in and return catch punts, and you knew when Westy trotted out there, it's a fair catch. Because you knew Westy was going to catch it. And so maybe that's it. But I also just, I don't like that. Like, I don't like that. Get a punt returner.
We had to.
You have 85 scholarships. Find one guy that can return a punt.
It's hard to believe, like, especially when we were so spoiled, we had like, Bobby Newcomb, DeJuan Gross.
Even DeMorne Pearsonell, before he hurt his knee. DPE was nasty.
We've had a few really good punt returners.
Johnny Rogers, obviously. Oh, yeah. Rich Baugh.
Richie Baugh.
But yeah, it's kind of been what Nebraska has had, a good line of that. Even Amir was pretty good for a little bit. He might have been just kickoff. But
yeah.
Nevertheless, that we've spent too much time on this.
Can
one
I
thing.
Can I make one more point on that? Yeah. Okay, and this I'm not, I don't make excuses, but I think it's clear to point this out. When they reviewed it, his knee was down in the end zone. And I'm telling you, every time somebody's ever got an interception and they like run and fall in the end zone or run and get tagged, they call the touchback.
Was that what they were when they were reviewing it? What were they looking at that?
So yeah. So this is what I'm a little confused on. His momentum clearly brought him into the end zone. And then he tried to make a move from there, but he was in the end zone.
He slipped.
But his momentum took him in the end zone. Usually,
right.
From my experience, if your momentum takes you into the end zone and then you get tackled or take a knee or fall down, it's a touchback. His momentum took him in the end zone. His knee hit, then he threw it.
Yeah.
So technically, the knees down, the throw shouldn't matter, and it should have been a touchback. But it was such a dumb play.
I almost feel like Dean Blandino and everybody back at the review was like
that was so bad.
This is so bad. We're not going to give it to him, though.
The reason why I almost agree with this, I hated that they always never try to call a safety. Like,
right.
Typically in football, refs never.
Nah.
Let's give them the 1-inch yard line instead of calling a safety. They did that.
It's weird.
I hate it.
Refs in basketball love calling charges. I feel like refs in football hate calling safety.
They hate it. They hate calling safeties.
Which I would think calling a safety would be kind of a
good
time.
Call a safety.
Like he was
on the 5, but I'm like, I think it's here. I would potentially call it. But they never so.
But
they,
no, I know what you're saying. I saw that, but I was so just like.
It was unthinkable, Nick. Nick, when he caught that ball on the 1-inch, it's unthinkable.
It's embarrassing. If we went to a 4th grade Pop Warner football game, if someone did that, you'd be like,
pull that kid.
That kid sucks. That kid doesn't get it.
But I'll give it
here.
I think we also got to give credit on the other side. That punter was amazing.
That punter was legit.
I know one guy in this room. I'm not going to say who he is. Absolutely loves punters. Nick.
I'm a Darren Erstad guy. Jesse Cush.
Is this guy.
Alex Henry.
Is he going to get a place on the wall?
Might. Whoever the Illinois punter, we'll just get a piece of paper that says Illinois punter.
And I mean, slap Nick, it right I was there. Thinking about you and this guy was punting.
Did you see? I mean, how about his first punt of the, or was it his second? No, his first punt of the game. Penned him at the, or might have been the set, whatever it was.
He had one that
went at the 1-inch line.
And then he put Cam Taylor Britt on the one.
Yes.
And then he turned one over that was like an 80-yard. Right. It was like,
that guy was legit. Player of the year. Give him the Heisman at this point. Heisman frontrunner, Nick Baugh's Heisman frontrunners, Illinois punter.
I think to start the season, that guy's up there.
I mean, who is better than that guy? I mean,
nobody.
Good God. Okay, so there's number one. We spent 15 minutes on that. But that play was like,
The three biggies we got to spend a lot of time.
Okay. The next thing I wrote down, because again, I'm going sequential order. Connor Colt missed an extra point.
Well, how do you explain it? Big Ten kicker? Big Ten kicker of the year.
Big Ten kicker of the year.
He can't make an extra point.
He was 15 for 15 or 20 of 20. I think he was 20 for 20 a year ago.
He was 30 for 30.
Whatever it was. He was an ESPN 30 for 30. He was perfect. Whatever it was. He was 100%.
Big Ten kicker of the year. Nick. I mean,
how do we explain this?
Nick, he missed two extra points yesterday. That's the Cam Taylor Britt and the Connor Colt. Like,
that just shows you, like, I don't want to say snake bit or cursed. Like, sometimes it feels like everything's cursed.
It feels closer to that than it's like, oh man, we just got terrible players and we don't know how to coach. Like, it feels closer to like, are we cursed?
Right. That's what it feels like. I mean, because that's unbelievable to miss not one but two extra points. That's crazy, though.
It's so out there. They're like, to me, is this just first game jitters for everybody?
It's like, this is an all-conference kicker. This isn't just, I mean, it'd be bad if like this was a new kicker, but this is an all-conference kicker.
Yeah, but he also is, I mean, Nick, let's be real. These guys haven't played in front of fans
But at the same time, for him being was I the one that was like, when he was named all-conference kicker, like, did you ever feel like, you know what? Nebraska's kicker is legit. Did you feel like that a year ago?
You know,
his numbers were good, but
he was very accurate. Doesn't have a big leg, but he was accurate. And remember how bad our kickers were the year before? Jesus. So I was a little bit like, yeah, this guy's a big upgrade.
I just don't feel like
Ohio State, this guy kicks from 72 yards every day.
I mean, I never saw him like that, but okay. So there, Connor Colt missed an extra point. I mean, just give me another round of whiskeys here.
What's in your cup?
Yeah, not whiskey. I wish it was. The Nick Bob Podcast is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors. And I want to talk to you guys about energy efficiency. And if you go onto Pella's website right now, you look at it. And how about this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different types of windows or doors. By Pella, won the Energy Star 2020 Most Energy Efficient Award. That's big time stuff right there. And they achieved that in a couple of waves. They got insulated glass, which slows the heat transfer, keeping your home at a more comfortable temperature. They got types of low E glass, which is a glass coating that has been optimized for your climate. They got triple pane glass, which you can upgrade to for increased insulating airspace. And within all of that, one of the keys is proper installation, which is key for window and doors to perform at their best. And you know the Pella experts are excellent at that. Bottom line, energy efficiency matters in making your home more comfortable, and Pella windows and doors are at the top of the line when it comes to energy efficiency. Check them out online, PellaOmaha.com. That's PellaOmaha.com. Okay, next one. Depending on how you want it, Adrian Martinez missing Lever in the end zone. And you could also look at the other way, Lever a drop in the end zone. It's a bad throw. He needed to put it on him. But at the end of the day, as a former quarterback, I put that on me. Like you got to put that on that guy. But at the same time,
that has to be catch of the year. If he to make that catch, it's like that's a
Odell
ridiculous
Beckham.
Catch.
It's not quite Odell Beckham, but
unguarded. Nick, he's unguarded.
You got to put that on his.
You
got
to just.
It's put it on his flick. Chest.
It doesn't even need to be on his chest. It needs to just be could stop in the end zone and wait for it to come down. It was wide open. And Martinez misses how Martinez always misses, which is high and long.
Sailing it
long. He never misses short. He misses high and long. He throws off his back foot and he releases the ball. Never comes down enough.
He never
misses short. Misses long. Like 90% of the time.
Right.
If he's going to miss, he sails it.
I mean, he is wide open.
You can't
miss it. I mean.
And we'll talk about Martinez that has two plays. Really, I mean, we can say a lot about Martinez this game. He wasn't that bad. Two plays, though, can cost us the game.
Yeah.
And that's the stuff that's so hard.
That's what's weird is that game was a kind of Martinez in a nutshell. Like. If you want to figure out who Martinez is, I would say just watch the Illinois game, because it's a lot of really good, and then it's a lot of routinely bad, and then a lot of bad, like back-breaking bad. He's always kind of had a knack for the big mistake that kills you. He makes it.
Yeah, that he's kind of like our team goes where he goes, and he knows how to make the wrong play at the wrong time.
Yes. Yes. But so
and that, so I mean, Nick, he it's not that he misses a lot of open guys. He misses the open guys on wide open touchdowns. It's not that like just that he fumbles every once in a while. He fumbles for a touchdown.
I'm not
30
I'm
seconds not having, before. It's yeah. amazing though. It's like, Nick, it's amazing.
Yes, it is. It is. But that, so there's so okay, so you have a missed touchdown opportunity that's 7 points that you end up having to settle for a field goal.
Yeah.
And I'll get to some hidden points in a second. But the next one is the other big, like if you're looking at the turning point of the game.
Yeah.
Caleb Tanner's roughing the passer taunting penalty is a game changer. Because let's set the stage here. Because Cam Taylor-Britt intercepts the ball.
But we just drove down the field. We had some nice throws. We punch it in. It's 9-2.
Right. It is. So it is Nebraska. Cam Taylor-Britt intercepts the ball and gets tackled. Nebraska was going to have the ball with 6 minutes and 32 seconds left in the second quarter at the 47-yard line, up 9-2. Instead, Illinois gets 30 penalty yards because there's not one flag, but two. They get the ball all the way down to, if I'm not mistaken, or it's on the 24-yard line, and 7 plays later, they score. And oh, by the way, they go on to score 28 unanswered points from this play sequence here. You go from an interception, ball at midfield, all momentum, up 9-2 with 6.5 minutes left to now wing bang boom. The game is tied and you've kind of lost all momentum. What, where do you want to start with this?
This one I'm having a lot of trouble with because a part of me, when I first saw the penalty, the pass, yeah. I was so upset because I'm like, 10 years ago, that's nothing but just like, what a great play. He didn't hit him in the head.
Hit him right.
He hit him in the chest, drove him to the ground, which is what you're supposed to do. And now it's like, okay, it's a penalty. So now you have to learn how to hit people and assume they've let go of the ball and then you have to let go. I mean, it's all like, it's such a, like the ref could do that every time the quarterback gets hit. If yes. That's the rule. And so I really struggle. I struggle being like coming down hard on defenders.
I agree.
I'm a defensive apologist most of the time. Just like you heard about my safety. I'm glad they gave Cam Taylor-Britt the safety.
Right. No, I heard you say that. Yeah.
But I didn't see the taunt. I don't know what taunting. Like, what did he do? Like, he celebrated? Like, doesn't people celebrate? You got to tell me. I don't know. Somebody's got to explain.
See, that's what's so hard. It's like, I get like, I don't know. I mean,
we don't coach discipline. I'm like, I don't know what that has to do with anything on that play. That's just like, do you know who's not going to win the football gods say Nebraska today? That's what it says to me.
Like, because it wasn't even like it was an egregious helmet to helmet launch. Like he had his head up, hit him in the chest, wrapped him up,
took him to the ground. And you say you can't bury a guy, but I'm like,
well, what are you supposed to do?
You're supposed to go full speed,
tackle him. And then it's on him to stop and hold him up. Does
the quarterback bear no responsibility to, like, if you're going to throw it, you're going to get hit or you have to tuck it?
Because who's to say, oh boy, like, does it pump? And then you know what I mean? Like, you can't assume, you got to assume he's throwing it and you got to get there.
It's one thing if it's super late. It wasn't. It was on time.
Right. I know that's what's
and
so
forced.
I
mean, it forced a bad throw and an interception. Pick. Like right. To me, you're taking away the incentive of the defense to play aggressive. Now it's like, well, you have to. It's another reason the offense just like if you're a quarterback, why would you ever just not stand there and try to just get hit and take your penalty every time?
Because that's. I guess my whole thing with whether it's targeting or this play, this is my line all the time of like every single rule, there should be an obvious, don't do that, do this instead, right? Traveling in basketball, don't take 4 steps. You have to take 2.
Yeah.
Got it.
you know, whatever. I mean, just fill in the blank for any rule, right?
Yeah.
Don't hold that guy. You have to let him go, whatever. Explain to me what exactly Caleb Tanner was supposed to do.
I don't know. I don't know if there's a good explanation besides, hey, we have to act like this game is safer now, so we throw more penalties when quarterbacks get hit.
Right.
It's like, to me, I just think it's such it's so arbitrary. I mean, Garrett Nelson.
Yeah, breaks Brandon Peters.
He drilled him and drove him to the ground. It was the exact same,
but it was here as opposed to on his shoulder as opposed to chest.
Maybe he wasn't in the act of throwing, but it was a drive to the ground. Like, to me, it's like if you hit the quarterback as he's about to throw it, that's no different than he's running to me. When he throws it and you go 1, 2, 3, bingo. Okay. Like, you took 3 steps after he just threw the ball versus like you're hitting him as he's releasing it. Kind of like, that's where I'm just like, I get real frustrated at that. And I don't like that a game is completely changed. Now, maybe we don't win, but just telling you that game is so different.
But if you look at the turning point of that game, it's that play.
You could take another safety from Cam Taylor Britt. That's the play.
Everything seemingly changed after that play, that sequence.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, more of kind of like somehow Nebraska finds themselves in these spots.
Yeah.
Right or wrong, I think we both disagree with a little bit of the call. I don't know if I really saw the taunting. I mean, I don't know.
I didn't see the taunting. I didn't get an explanation for the taunting. But like, okay, like if you do something so over and beyond, you get a taunting. That's a discipline problem.
But if you lay someone's ass out and if he stood over him and kind of like, I mean, I don't.
Every single play, somebody gets up and celebrates. So you got to tell, you got to let me know what the line is. You can't make an arbitrary, like, this time this guy can't celebrate.
And maybe there's some language that I don't know. But I mean, but I just didn't get any.
Then what's the language rule?
Right. I don't know.
We got it. To me, it's like, let's just be clear. Like, if you MF somebody, and that's a penalty, then every time you see these guys MFing out there,
right,
it's got to be a penalty. It can't be these random, like, it's too random. These targetings, they should all be reviewed every time. And, like, I don't know. Like, it should be hard to get a targeting. It shouldn't be this easy and arbitrary.
I agree. But clearly, enormous, enormous sequence. The other little sub note or side note that I wrote with this. You get 30 penalty yards. They didn't score.
Yeah.
Right. That was the touchdown where there was a personal foul on the touchdown that then was enforced on the kickoff. They backed him up on the, remember that they backed him up further for the kickoffs, I think by 10 or 15 yards. So to me, you have an opportunity for a good return. Yeah. Right. And instead, now maybe this is on the All-American, All-World kicker,
he kicked it out of the end zone.
Like, but it also looked like
the returners
were too far up.
That guy, I'm surprised how far he kicked it though.
So I guess, but I wanted to ask you, I didn't know whether to be upset with the returners in not being positioned right, or do you just chalk that up to
the guy? So
Johnny Big Leg just
Johnny Big Leg. I mean, he brought out the Big Bertha driver. And he was one of those guys who you're like, wait, is this guy?
He took a swing. He was the DeChambeau of kickers.
DeChambeau came up, got to the tee, and he hit it 415 yards. And everybody was like, oh, all right. Like the Huskers were up. They were up at the white tees.
Seriously.
They're up at the white tees thinking like, okay. Like,
I mean, I don't know. I just thought that was like a pretty big seat. You had an opportunity for a pretty good return.
Yeah.
And it didn't happen. Okay. So then the next big play, we've already kind of hit on it, but you have the forced fumble by the black shirts, right? You get completed pass, the black shirts pursue, knock the ball loose, recovered by Nebraska. Nebraska has the ball at the 39-yard line with 58 seconds left.
Yeah, and I think we should point out in this first half, I thought the black shirts looked really good in the first half, right?
Yes.
So we had 3 sacks. We had, I thought we looked physical. Like, we were making big hits. We were hitting hard. Like,
couple TFLs.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think Deontay made a great, you know, 3rd-and-1, like he blitzed and made
the Ultimate Warrior played great.
Ultimate Warrior was injuring people. Like, we've always thought he, and believed he could do. And we just looked, I thought we like, I was like, disrupted, okay, this is what I wanted to see.
I totally agree.
Reimer gets a fumble. We turn like, but I'll say this though, like, they were on the field a lot that. Well, so this is the thing: is like they played well, but like
There was an erosion over like a wearing down.
You know, they get points. Cam Taylor Britt safety. They go back in the field. We just kept like putting them out there.
Yes,
and it was 100 degrees. I think that was a big factor for the rest of the game. I
totally agree.
But now we're on offense.
So recover the fumble. 58 seconds left. Ball at the 39. Run a couple of plays. They get to 3rd and 2 at the 48-yard line. Nebraska comes out in 4 wide. It was a weird formation. Frost talked about after the game that he thought they had Illinois confused by the formation. Yeah,
they were junked out, kind of.
But nevertheless, when you split more guys out, you're not going to have as many guys to pass protect. Martinez tries to step up in the pocket, tries to make a play. It almost looked like he was going to try to flip it forward to Oliver Martin.
See, I didn't see him trying to flip.
It looked like he would, because he had the ball in one hand, it looked like he was trying to do one of his little flips, but he gets hit, and somehow the ball spins. Instead of fumbling and going over, the ball spins in place. Illinois, scoop, score, touchdown. And now 30. It's 16-9 at halftime.
I mean, it's...
But it's, those are the plays we talk about with Martinez. Those are the back-breaking plays that Martinez just... For as much as we support him, as much as we defend him, these are the... This is who he is to a certain extent.
You can't put any of that on anybody but Adrian Martin. Like, there's only one thing you can't do. You can do a lot of things. There's a million things you can do there.
Right.
They're all fine. There's one thing you can't do, and it's fumble and gift a touchdown with 30 seconds left to go in the half. Because I don't care what anybody says. We're on our side of the field. We are going to get points.
Yes.
You do not run the ball or do some win. Like, go get points. The best play, call it. Like,
right.
We're not playing scared. Play to win the game at that point. We're up 9-9. Like, they're getting the ball. Like, get some
and
points.
And you just forced a turnover. You could have had a chance to kind of regain the momentum.
We're not in the 30. We're going in.
I had no problem being aggressive
in
that spot.
The paper was talking about maybe we should have not tried to.
No, I disagree with that. I was saying, you go try and score.
That's the right play.
Right. Adrian, maybe if you wouldn't have had, I still would have liked it, but maybe if you wouldn't have had the ball, maybe if you have the ball to start the second half, I can entertain the idea of not having the foot on the gas. But even so,
I think when you are
near midfield,
if you're just close to the 50, you go, they were crossed it, man. They were going in. Like, you get that.
I agree.
I
agree.
And, but Adrian just like, he's loose with the ball a lot.
Yes. I'm telling you, maybe I'm seeing what I want to see. I thought it looked like
he was trying
to flip it, but it, like, right as he was going forward, he got hit. But you gotta, like, when you're in traffic, Bo, I mean, you were a ball carrier. You gotta tuck that thing and protect it.
Well, you know, like, we're not comparing Tom Brady to Tom Brady here, but the one thing Tom Brady never does is he never really scrambles, but he also rarely gives the ball back to anybody. He just takes sacks.
Right.
He doesn't care.
He just eats it.
He says, you know what? Eat it, and I don't really care.
Right.
And the defense never usually gets the ball from him, though. That's the thing, Adrian. Like, you want to scramble and make the play every time. It's like more things like that happen. Like, you got his instinct for when to eat it is bad.
Really bad.
You sometimes got to eat it.
Right.
And he never just goes, let's just eat it. And that's where it's like, oh God, like,
because that's a backbreaker,
you know,
in a lot of ways too.
Like, I mean, I'm way more apt to let you, like, when you're outside of the pocket,
right?
Do get creative then. Go make something extra happen. Don't eat it. When you're in the pocket and it's collapsing, that's a dangerous place.
Yes.
I think that's where you got to learn to just be like, sometimes if it's crashing in, you just tuck it and eat it.
Yes.
And I mean, that play is so bad on so many levels that it's just like, I'm just
now,
like,
all of a sudden, because now all of a sudden you're going to halftime. And was I the only one? I was like, I sat on my couch
silent for a little bit. Just like, what happened? I mean, so, how is Nebraska losing this game?
Nick, four plays. It was four plays.
Well, this okay, so halftime. You have the Cam Taylor-Britt mistake for the punt safety. You have a missed extra point. You have a drop touchdown, bad throw by Martinez. You have a roughing the passer, taunting penalty that negates a Cam Taylor-Britt interception. Then you have the Martinez fumble that Illinois scoops and scores a touchdown. I wrote this down. People might roll their eyes to this. I wrote down total swing points from own mistakes. Safety, 2 points. Missed extra point, one point. Dropped missed touchdown catch because you have to settle then for a field goal.
4 points.
4 points. Roughing the passer, erasing the pick. You could argue 7 points. That's a 7 point swing. Debatable, right?
Even if you take that to zero, it doesn't matter.
But so it's either a grand total of 14 points, or if you want to take away the seven.
No, or you add seven.
You add seven.
It could be 21. And that's the part that's like...
I didn't even add... Did I have the scoop score fumble?
No. So that's truly 14 points that are guaranteed we should have.
So it's either 14 to 21 points that are seemingly taking out a gun and just shooting yourself.
That's what I think this team couldn't do the first game of the year against the beatable team is the exact thing that we've been talking about for three seasons now. They did it again.
Yes.
So this is like, this is what's so hard, man. This is what's so hard is like, is this our guys? This is just how they are.
That's right. I don't know. I don't understand. I was watching it with my brother. My brother's like, how do you explain them? Like, and I go, I don't know, man.
Because you know what? It was right now, it's really easy to be like, well, this is what Scott Frost guys do. And I just go like, my mind doesn't go there. Like, I don't know. I don't make that jump to like, this coach makes guys do these things. Like I go, I don't know that that's true, but all I know is like, this is what we do a lot.
Yeah. I mean,
this
at some
is where
point,
I'm struggling.
Well, at some point there's, you know, there's a trend, there's a pattern. So that's where you do kind of go, well, why is it that Pat Fitzgerald's teams never have penalties and da-da-da-da-da? Like,
well, they do. It's just we don't
Well, but they're usually the least penalized team in the country. Yes. They lead the nation in fewest penalties almost every year. Wisconsin basketball, almost every year, they are one of the fewest turnovers per game every year. Like, at some point, there is some correlation, but at the same time, there's stuff like the Cam Taylor-Britt safety where you go,
I can't explain it.
It's just nuts.
I can't explain the Big Ten kicker of the year missing two extra points today. Like, right. I can't explain it. And I try to be slow to blame. I try to be slow to make assumptions. And I'm just kind of in a loss at where what I because it's just like, I don't think we're terrible.
You're getting your Ted Lasso, Walt Whitman. Be curious, not judgmental. Is that
Walt Whitman?
That's right.
No.
How about that? It's the poet Walt.
Yeah,
Walt.
That's
you know the scene with the darts, Lasso, and where he says there was something written that's on the right. Be curious, not judgmental. Yep. That's how you are. You're slow to want to just blame people, but nevertheless, there's something like after this many years and this many games and this many times of the same things happening over and over again.
Yeah, it's hard to explain though. It really is.
Okay, well, hold on. It's only halftime. Like I was watching the game with my family, my two little nephews. They were like, Do you think Nebraska gonna win? I'm like, yeah. At that point, I really did. I'm like, the defense is playing well. They have their backup QB in. At some point, like, I mean, Nebraska literally had to vomit on themselves, pee their pants due to their to be in this position. I thought they were gonna win. And this is where the start of the third quarter was really disappointing.
Yeah, and this is like a true,
this is less mental mistakes, just disappointing.
This is more like,
I'm not mad, I'm just
playing the game, football. Sometimes I think people out-duel you. I think we got out-dueled this drive.
Because you start the third quarter, Illinois has the ball first. They go on an 8-minute, 14-play, 75-yard drive for a touchdown.
Which was, give credit where credit's due. They decided we're going to chew this clock up. It felt like the game was over because you just looked like all of a sudden the quarter's
like,
over.
Yeah, all of a sudden the third quarter went like that, and Nebraska's down multiple scores, and you're like, sheesh, they're going to run out of time, which they pretty much
did. They almost would have been better like giving up a quick score
right.
and getting their defense off the field and getting like the game moving, because the game went to this like
but
slow
Illinois,
pace.
It's but you got to like, give them credit. I thought their play calling got better. They found some – they really started to run the ball. I thought – this is where I do think Nebraska got a little tired, and the tackling started to erode a little bit.
I'll say this. The defensive line, which I kind of assumed was going to be a strength of ours, like the second half, I rewound. If you like, guys were looking tired. They were, I get it. They were out there a long time, and I feel like they were getting out of gaps. We did that. You know, they were doing those wide runs, and I feel like we're getting out of gaps. I just felt like we got sloppy.
Yes.
We got sloppy as the game went. You know, they didn't play terrible, but they just, the second half, I thought we were sloppy. I thought we weren't ready for a full game.
So, 14 plays, 75-yard touchdown drive. Nebraska's offense comes out, goes 3-and-out.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where it all, like, 3-and-out punt, you're back onto the field. And this is where sometimes teams, a guy makes a play and you just got to tip their cap. They're, after the 3-and-out, Illinois hits the long pass.
Perfect throw.
I mean, it's perfect a catch. Perfect throw, perfect catch, tight ropes to sideline. Sometimes you just go,
Give credit where credit's due. That quarterback, you know, what a good pickup for them, because
Rutgers
first game of the year, he looked like he was pretty confident, pretty poised. Like, he's a guy that, I'll tell you what, like, yeah, he's not a superstar, but he was a serviceable backup.
He went, what was he, 11 of 12? And he,
he didn't like, he, for the most part, you know, he had the one errant pass that luckily he got the roughing the passer. But after that, he played a solid game, I thought.
So they hit the long pass. They have a 3-play, 47-yard touchdown drive. And then all of a sudden, boom, Illinois is up 30-9. And you're just like, what happened?
It's just everything that can go wrong went wrong. Everything for them that really could have went right went right.
The Nick Bob Podcast is brought to you by my good friends at Runza. Everybody that knows my athletic background, you know, as a quarterback in high school. But you know, I believe in establishing the run game. And even more than that, I believe in establishing the Runza game. That's an original Runza cheeseburger, some onion rings, double dipped in a homemade batter, little bit of a pop to top it off. You know, in football, you establish a run. But at lunch, you establish the Runza. It's just that simple. So get out to Runza today and establish the Runza game, or check out the delicious salads. You got the chicken bacon ranch salad, sweet berry chicken salad, and my personal favorite, the Southwest chicken salad. You got to get out to Runza, establish a Runza game, or get a salad. Either way, you are going to leave satisfied. Runza makes it all better.
I mean, what bad happened to Illinois? Did they have one bad call against them?
I can't think of one.
Nick, nothing bad happened to them.
Right.
They played not to beat themselves. They didn't. But they didn't have to do
right. I mean, at this point, for all intents, I mean, the game's not over, but it's life support here.
Yeah, it was.
Because then to finish it out here, there's then Nebraska's drive to at the end of the third quarter and the start of the fourth quarter, which is more just shooting yourself in the foot. You have the good long throw by Martinez to Samari Toure that's erased by a penalty for offensive pass interference on Oliver Martin.
And not a good call, by the way.
But Martin's got to sell it a little better.
Yeah, I mean, but it wasn't egregious. Like, if you watch most pick plays,
it's very similar to that.
I mean, people pick, and that was like that was a touchy. It was a ticky-tack.
But how about, that was a 44-yard net loss on that play when you combine the gain with the penalty. I mean, 44 yards, right? Then on that same drive, there Oliver Martin redeems himself, if you want to call it, like, because he has a great catch then on second down to get a first down. And so then on that same drive, Martinez has the scramble 9-yard run where Cam Jurgens gets called for penalty, where he just kind of like told the defensive tackle, come here, big guy.
That's another one where I'm like, really? Like, you call it every play. I'm just
the still image. I mean, truly,
well, the one guy was just like, I don't know what you do with him. You're supposed to be like hands off. Like
he was a little.
He was like he put his hands underneath him, like this, and so then Cam was like,
you ever remember the game on Whose Line Is It Anyway? Where like
he comes behind,
and that's what it looked. They'd always be like mustard, and he would like squeeze it on. Yeah, like, it always was food and getting fed. That Cam Jurgens of the D tackle went on his Whose Line Is Anyway? And they were just like, well, that was a bizarre play, though, right?
I'd say we had 1, 2, 3 really bad calls, and I would even put the Cam Taylor Britt. I think that easily could have been called a touchback.
A touchback.
Right. I think we had 4. Just like the refs were like, guess who's going to lose today?
Well, let me just fit like then on. So you have the holding and then Nebraska gets backed up 3rd and 17. You have a drop pass by Oliver Martin. It would have been short anyways, but maybe Nebraska goes for it because they're close. And then Nebraska punts and they have a whopping 13-yard punt.
I gotta be honest. Of all the plays of the day, I think I got most upset with that.
A 13-yard punt.
Because I wanted us to either go for it or you pin them. You don't kick it 13 yards.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. I wrote this down. So, first of all, you had a chance to put points on the board, and you didn't because of penalties. You had a chance to then pin Illinois, and you didn't. And here's why it's important, Bo. Illinois then, on their ensuing possession, they get one first down, but then they get stopped, and they have to punt.
They put us.
They pin Nebraska inside the 10 at the 9-yard line. And then, so if Nebraska has a good punt and they pin Illinois, Illinois is not far enough down the field to be able to pin Nebraska. Does that make sense? Like these are these little hidden yardage
all game long they do this
moments. And then, by the way, if Nebraska has a good punt, you likely don't get pinned inside your own 10, where then time is not on your side because the next drive, you do score, but the next drive takes 19 plays and nearly 7 minutes to score.
Yeah.
But these are these moments where that punt is terrible and a huge play. One last thing on this last drive to just, you know, Festivus, errants of grievances here. Mm-hmm. But so this last drive, it's 9 minutes left, down 30-16. Game's not over, right? I mean, the game is not over. These are these other things that drives me nuts a little bit about, or just, I just want someone to explain this to me. Do you see who was in it running back on that series?
Ramir Johnson.
Just explain that to me.
I don't know. I don't know if they like don't have a guy, but then they don't, like, it seemed like Irvin was in, then he was never in. And then Steph was in, then he wasn't in.
I just don't understand. Like he hadn't gotten a carry all game. I'm not sure he had been in all game. He is, at least based on who came in, your third stringer. And this is the biggest drive of the game.
I don't know.
They were in some sort of they had a different package in there. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I'm willing to say I don't
know.
That could
be. I don't know either. I have no idea.
But I guess these are the things, just little management stuff that I just don't understand. Either Ramir Johnson is good enough to be on the field. If he's good enough to be on the field in this moment, where the fuck was he for 4 quarters?
I don't know. And I wouldn't have a bad answer if I tried to answer that. I don't know.
I wrote that because I'm just like, I don't understand.
You know what? Here was my big question, even more than that. I wasn't even thinking about that. I was going like, why are we not going faster?
Right. It did. I know.
I mean,
because that this drive took.
It took
six minutes and like 47 seconds, I think it was.
Well, to me, what that did, it was like, because we couldn't, like, it's good we scored. And maybe that's
you had
like
to get points, whatever.
At this point, like, we were just trying to score points and maybe, I don't know, maybe the conditioning, maybe whatever. But to me, I'm a guy that, like, I really focus on the clock. So when Illinois took 8 minutes off, I was already starting to go, okay, yipes, we're running out of time. I felt like we were just taking our sweet time on that drive. It didn't feel like we were like...
There wasn't a lot of urgency.
It wasn't like, let's go freaking light speed here, get some points, and then have 4 or 5 minutes. We had like 2 minutes
afterwards. You got 9 minutes
You have all three timeouts. You're down two scores. So you need to, you're going to need to score twice and you're going to need to stop them.
Yeah.
That's not a lot of time.
And to run that whole amount down, I think it put too much pressure on our offense for last drive.
Yeah,
we needed the extra 2 minutes for the last drive.
Right.
Then you have the option of throwing it and, you know, running it and staying in bounds if you have to.
Or maybe you don't have to waste all your timeouts defensively.
You
save a few offensively, exactly. All those kinds of things.
And so I just felt like that was a little bit, you know, if we're picking nits here, I'd be the type, I like to see the urgency of like when you're going.
Two other things that happened on this drive that were frustrating. You finally had the bad snap from Juergens happened on this play, but did that look like, were they doing,
I think it was, I don't know.
Were they trying to do, like, it looked like Martinez was moving to his left on the snap. It just looked odd.
I would like to see it from the.
I know. I don't think we ever got a good angle on it.
But that's just. I mean, that was almost like, "Hey, we're going for the trifecta today. We're going to do it all. Everything.
Nebraska was what needed to hit for the cycle.
Yeah.
Of all their you know classic mistakes.
It wouldn't be a classic.
I think Frost got a headset and said, "Guys, the only mistake we haven't hit on our bingo card or hitting for a cycle is a high snap from Juergens. Let's make that happen."
I don't think he had one bad snap.
I don't remember
and
one.
And then it was an airmail. Luckily we got on the ball.
Right. But nevertheless, it's like when that happened, it was like, of course it happened. And then also Connor Colt missed an extra point after Nebraska scored on that drive. So,
which is like, let's be real.
It's important.
Let's be real. If we get in the end zone to finish the game, I think we'd lose because we'd have to go for two.
Yeah. Think about that.
So instead of winning the game,
they probably lost 30-28.
So if Connor Colt makes his extra points and we get a chance to score, like we probably win that game. Instead, like we would have had to go for two, and I just wouldn't feel great about having to win a game going for two
So it's pretty much ball game after that. And that was the end of my list of things that I was frustrated with. Did I miss anything? Was there anything in there?
I mean, the big ones were the four in the first half.
Yes. The first half was more where there were a lot more mental, like,
the second half was like we were fatigued. We made our run.
A couple of things to chew on. Illinois controlled time of possession. They were pretty much plus 10 minutes. And that's with the Nebraska's final scoring drive of a 19-play drive that took.
Yeah.
So it really was more lopsided than it was. Illinois had the ball for 34 minutes and 55 seconds. Nebraska had it for 25 minutes and 5 seconds. But it was really.
It was almost like they had it for double.
It was more like they doubled Nebraska time of possession.
Yeah.
Nebraska is now 5-13 in games decided by one score or less. 13 of Scott Frost's 21 losses are by one score or less.
Yeah.
It just is.
It seems like we do this. Here's what I've noticed about our team. It seems like we get off to decent starts, mess up, then battle back and make it close.
Yeah.
That's kind of the way we lose a lot of the time. And I go, what is that about us? Like it's a weird, like,
I would love to see some stats. It seems like in the Frost era, they're a particularly bad third quarter team.
Yes. Yes.
Like really, if you were looking at just, if you isolated stats and numbers, first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter, I bet their worst quarter by a mile is the third quarter.
Yes. I remember like our Colorado and Northwest, like then we have just atrocious
bad starts to have,
yeah,
and to set to the second half. But yeah, because I mean that's what's amazing is for as mistake riddled of a game as this was, they still battled, had the ball down a score.
Hey, they're always fight. I just don't know that they're.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, 13 of the. It's not like you said it on the on our season preview. It's the one score loss that makes it harder to digest, where it's like blowout wins, blowout losses aren't hard to
yeah. The Mike Riley era was not hard to understand.
Even the Bo Pelini era was kind of like, cause a lot of the big, there were a lot of the games got out of hand and you're like, okay, like big game kind of gets away from them. That's not the case here. I mean, 13 of your 21 total losses are by one score.
But see, I think that's, to me, what this points out is, now that we're in the fourth year of Frost and we're seeing the same thing we've seen, it's less what it's always been in the past. When it was Solich, when it was Callahan, when it was Pelini, when it was Riley, we had defensive issues that would happen in the big games. The big losses were like, man, the defense and the scheme would follow. Like, they'd do stuff that we just like
couldn't stop the run. Couldn't stop the jet sweep against Wisconsin or whatever.
Like, yeah, we just had these moments where like it was Texas Tech against against Frank Solich, it was Colorado or it was Kansas State. Like, they'd blow us out in these like weird defensive letdowns. And I mean, offense was terrible in those games too. But this seems to be more like our offense makes the mistakes that kill us in these games, especially like when we're in the midst of.
Totally agree. I mean, I think
it's an offensive thing.
To kind of recap, like, I wrote down kind of bad, disappointing things. Obviously, special teams across the board.
Yeah.
The running backs and the run game from the running backs. Nebraska had three running backs carry it 19 times for 58 yards.
But there was nothing there.
Nothing. That's why it was hard to even.
The O-line,
I thought, did not play well.
You know, Frost.
You're going to ask about the odd-even thing?
Yeah.
Can you explain? Because so basically, Frost, after the game, said they guessed wrong. They had guessed that they were going to see an odd front, and they basically played an even front the entire game. To me, I guess I'm amazed that, wow, just a simple odd even front was enough to render you guys frozen for the run game was done.
That's a tough one because I do think, you know, when a team does something unexpected,
right,
I usually think there's going to be three or four series that like they might win. And that's part of like the chess matchup.
Yep.
But like, it's also like, it shouldn't be like means like you don't get to. Like, I think Scott Frost went away from the run game.
Right. Especially in the second half. They pretty much just went away from
it. But understandably, they're down.
Big. I get it. Yeah.
But like, I do think, like, we did not adjust at all in that run game. I mean, our offensive line, there was no push. There was no hole.
Bad day for them.
Yeah. They're going to have that was a wake-up call for that O-line.
Because you saw the stats they flashed up. Illinois against the run and all that. They were really bad a year ago.
Yeah.
But I thought the offensive line had a bad day. I thought they couldn't. They were not winning at the point of attack. They could not run the ball in between the tackles. I didn't think they gave Martinez a whole hell of a lot of time.
It was a soft pocket where like they were blocking,
but it was a little muddy.
Getting where Martinez is a shorter guy. I think he's 6'1" maybe, and when that pocket gets tight, I don't think he's comfortable throwing.
Right.
Like, if you're 6'5", it's a little bit easier, I think, to deliver.
Right,
with over a the tighter top of it. Pocket. But right. When you're like, think about it, you just are just it, down that much, and these big dudes are starting to like, remember that like the pass to Hickman that he missed? Like, it's just like it was going to be hard because it just wasn't like the pocket wasn't clean. It was still just a collapsed pocket.
And so I thought the O-line did not play well.
No.
The running back situation suffered because of that. Let's have a conversation about Martinez real quick, because I mean, they flashed up the stats. He now has 36 career turnovers. He's got 20 interceptions and 16 fumbles. That's a lot of turnovers.
But the timing of those turnovers is so bad.
Right. It's amazing. Yeah. It's not all mistakes are created equal. My analogy all the time is, you know, I can be if I'm late for a tea time with you by 10 minutes or I'm late to a job interview by 10 minutes, it's the same action.
You're late.
I'm late 10 minutes to something. One is way worse than the other. So of those 36 turnovers, I'd love to go through all of them and chart like on a scale of 1 to 10 of backbreaking. Holy, you can't do that. They're all like a 10. It feels like,
I mean,
but I didn't think he. Now, I will say, I don't know. I feel like we just are just having the same conversation about it over and over again. Like, you kind of sit there and you watch him and you go, man, he didn't play very good. He was in and out of rhythm. When he was in rhythm, he made some plays that were really good. The 75-yard touchdown run. He had a couple of on their last touchdown drive. Man, he made some great throws.
Yeah.
With people bearing down on him. And then, I mean, you sit there and you go, okay, you know, where would that offense have been without that guy? Where it was like, unless he made a play, they couldn't do anything.
Yeah, we couldn't run it. I mean, And really, like when I say, like when I look at his game in the entirety, I don't think it was bad. I think he misses a touchdown throw and fumbles the ball for a touchdown, and everything else was fine. I'll just take that as a game where I said, if the rest of that game is just him, fine, that's good. He just has to become a guy that makes the throw and doesn't fumble the ball there.
Right.
That's the only, like, that's all he has to change, and I'm going to go.
But here's the problem.
A solid guy.
Here's the problem, and I think there's some of this stuff can expand out and include it with Frost. It's like there's this feeling like he'll get it. No. Guys, trust me, he'll get it. He'll eventually stop doing that.
That's what sucks about this game.
Fourth year.
This is the game. This was the year he's supposed to stop this.
And this was the year Frost and the team, all this stuff, to extrapolate it, even zoom out more. Because I think that's the thing that I found myself being so frustrated. You kind of end up kicking yourself. And we'll get into being like, okay, we don't want to say the season's over. But you just, there's been this like assumption, at least for me, that eventually they're going to stop. Martinez going to stop the backbreaking turnovers. Cam Taylor-Britt's not going to make the bonehead catch safety. Like, eventually those things are going to stop. They'll get it right. They're going to get it right. They'll get it. And it's just, at some point, are we all sitting here like 4 years into this thing? Like, what are we even talking about?
Well, I think that was the articles in the paper today. I read.
Do we want to fast forward to kind of that big topic here? I have some other stuff that I could get into.
But I think the big.
Let's wrap this up with. You read all the articles. Chattel, Sipple,
Dirk,
Mitch Sherman, Pat Forty. There might have been another, like all these grandioso columns recapping this game. And especially Dirk's. Now, don't get me wrong. I love Dirk. And I thought Dirk's column was interesting and thought-provoking. And I think it's all stuff that you and I feel at times worried about. Like, man, if this doesn't work, blah, blah, blah. But you read all those stories, you would think this was game 11 or 12, and it is over.
Yeah.
Basically, these were basically, Dirk wrote the obituary to the Frost era.
It basically said, there is no hope.
It's over.
For the rest of eternity.
So I guess that's the question. We'll kind of pseudo wrap it up with that question of people are acting. Some media members, even some fans, people are acting like this shit is over. The Frost era is over. How do you react to the narrative or sentiment of this is over?
So I think it would be disingenuous to say that, like, to be acting, paint this like we're in a great spot right now.
Right. Yeah. We can't sit here, turn on the mics and be like, it's okay. We're doing fantastic.
Right. You know, like, we're not that kind of homers. We're homers.
Right.
But we're not that kind of homers. Yeah. Right. Like, we're real about what's going on. That was a bad loss. But, like, when we lose a game because we were 1 foot long in a pass, that one bad fumble. I mean, you could call the game right there. Those two plays, that's the game to me. And our defense is, like, if your defense is okay, which we're doing okay on, we're all right. Yes. Offense is a few things away. That's where, I mean, I've watched us lose by 70 before. And I go, right. I still have a different feeling about the Mike Riley era. It's like we didn't show much that is going our direction this first game, but it is the first game of the year.
Right.
And I would strongly encourage people to just take a breath and go, there's 11 more games. Things happen. Sometimes you got to really just, like, you got to just eat it for a while. Like,
there
you do.
Are 11 more games. That's the only, trust me, all of the things people are pointing out, we've talked about them for an hour here. Like, the mental mistakes, all that stuff, the record and close games, like, all that stuff is real. But there are 11 more games to play. So to me, it feels like we're going there a little too fast to say this thing is over.
I think it's
not even September.
And we're losing close games. Like, we're not losing by 50 points.
Right.
Like, we're losing close games. So that's why I get the frustration actually is higher. It's higher for me when we lose them close. When we get blown out, it's like, it's a different feeling. That's when you start looking for another coach, right? But when you lose close games, like there's more to it. Like I just know there's so much to these games. It's an inch. It's a this, it's a that. And so like, I just have this weird like belief that like we have been snake bitten in a weird way. We have been like jinxed.
It feels like that. But at the same time, at some point you gotta,
yes,
you gotta make your own luck.
You do.
And but you like, gotta get out. I'm with you. Like there. That's what's so hard. It's like,
it's not here. It's there.
I can simultaneously agree with you where it's like any moment in the game that could Nebraska catch a break or not, they never catch a break.
Yes.
But at the same time, like, there maybe there's a reason
and that,
that could, it never goes Nebraska's way.
It might be like this and it might never change. It might be like we're always going to be the team that loses.
At some point this season, it's too quick to write the obituary.
No,
way too quick. But at some point, if we have this exact same conversation,
games,
twelve more times,
Nick,
the obituary's probably got to get warmed up.
If we do this 12 more times, I'm just telling you, me and you should just call Alcoholics Anonymous because we'll be alcoholics by then.
We'll just be boozing it up.
There'll be no. Okay, so think about this. Think about us, and I always like to keep this in perspective. You were whined 4 years. We all, to a man in Nebraska, I didn't hear one person not say this. You got to give them 7 to 10 years, no matter what. 7 to 10 years. But you know what people do? Just like everything in this world, our memories are really short. And we forget fast. And we go back to our same past mistakes, which in Nebraska is fire a coach after 3 or 4 years. Fire a coach after three. Like we were, that's what we do. And I'm like, you know what? We've done this. We've gone through 4 or 5 coaches now. Like, how about we do what we said we were going to try to do and actually give them time and play? Like, so I'm still a believer in like change is bad right now. Change is bad.
Here's what's hard about that. I'm totally with you. I am not on a write the obituary, make a change. I'm not on that, on that school of thought at all. But Frost and this program and this team, they have to meet the fans halfway. Like, you got to show some shred of improvement. At this point, I still contend. At this point, did you feel like yesterday you saw a team that is any better than the team that took the field against South Alabama in year two?
Yes, in ways. That I will be... No question in my mind, our defense is better. I see improved skill. I think we have some better skill guys, but we got the same quarterback, running backs, nothing. I haven't seen anything there. Line, still to be desired offensively. So to me, it's like I actually see it on defense.
Oh, I see it on defense.
I see it on defense. So like, it's hard for me to say I don't like see improvement because I see it on the defense. The offense is sort of a conundrum because it's on this quarterback.
It's on the quarterback and on like,
yeah,
the offense. When you stop and think about the final 6 games of the first year and think about what that offense was doing and then think about what this offense is doing now, and it's maddening. I thought the one thing you were going to be able to take to the bank with Frost's arrival was, listen, it might take a while. They might not win for a few years in terms of winning the West or winning the Big Ten. The one thing they're going to do is they're going to put up points.
That's surprising.
I thought the one thing you could take to the bank was points. And the one thing that has not happened is the offense exploding. And that's what gets so that's what's so hard about this is like, I totally am with you that everyone was saying, got to give this guy time. We don't want to listen. We've done this cycle of higher fire, and look where it's gotten the program. I am not on board with just right now. The thought of blowing it up again just terrifies me.
Yeah.
But with all that said, it's like, just look, just try to look like
you're getting like there's some you like I want to believe. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
just give me something to tangibly point to outside of the, like, I think we'd all agree. Like, I see it on defense. I see the improvement, the progression. The one, like I wrote down, the one positive thing was they kind of heated up the quarterback. Now, I thought they got wore down, but they heated up the quarterback. And that was the one of the big question marks was like pass rush. They got after the QB. Pretty good.
Slight improvement. I mean, Nick Henrich was looking kind of like a player out there.
Right. Caleb Tanner, Garrett Nelson, Fildarius Payne, and like those guys all showed flashes.
Those guys improved is what I'll say. Those guys looked improved. They're still not.
Now, I don't think they're great players yet. No, but
they showed improvement. The secondary, they didn't have a great game for them, but they still, I think, will be a strength.
I agree.
So I think like people also like this was an emotional game, I think, for like our fan base is they're in the dumpster now. But I think it's important for them to understand, like, just stick with it. Like, get a couple games into this year, see what happens. Like, you never know. Like, things happen in ways you just can't predict. Like, maybe we'll get hot in the games that you think we're supposed to lose versus the easy ones where, like, it never makes sense. But I think you got to just, like, people need to just I know they want to do this, like, protect themselves. Like, I can't invest emotionally in the, like, that's what everybody's saying.
But that's how, there's a lot of people that are feeling like that.
They have to be like, it's too hard. But I'm like, you just kind of got to just like do your best to watch it and, you know, not live and die by it, but just continue to watch it and trust that maybe something good will happen.
It's hard. And we're talking in circles here, but it's hard when you, I think the thing I felt yesterday was like, no, it's human nature. Nobody wants to be made a fool of in the sense of one of the ways you can be made a fool of is by believing in something and having that thing let you down.
Yes.
That can go for people, things, whatever. That's the thing that I think I'm having a hard time with. It's like, I want to believe in this thing. And I think now to some of the stuff we talked about, even in our preview episode, I'm like, you feel stupid. No one likes to feel stupid. And I think that's the thing that a lot of people are guarding against, whether it's even just the emotion of being let down. I think it's also the emotion of like feeling dumb that you thought that it was this was going to get better.
Well, I think we, as a state, as a fan base, like a lot of our pride as people comes from our football. We've had it for 60 years.
Right.
For 60 years, like it's a part of our life. It's a part of what we take pride in. And it's really, it does. It sucks when the thing you're so proud of can't get out of like first gear ever. And we've been, it's killing us right now. So now instead of people like sticking with it, you know, because keeping it as a part of your life, they're saying, well, maybe it'll be better by just like go away. And I think that's the wrong, like,
I do too.
I think you just have to find a balance in how you look at it, but like, you shouldn't just give it up because,
but it is interesting when you think about whether it's because, I mean, a lot of the columnists we talked about were local columnists. The national media is really writing the obituary for this guy.
Yeah.
And I just get nervous of once it starts going that way.
That's my point. Like, I think when the local media especially turns, it's usually like they almost are like, it's like pitchforks route. Like, now the mob's coming.
Well, here's the problem too. And this was hard because I'm not saying that these Dirk and Tom and Sip and these guys wouldn't be able to change their tune. But we live in a world where people like to get ahead of things and say, this is going to happen.
Yeah, look what, yeah.
And no matter what, they're going to search for things that validate what they thought was going to happen.
Yep.
The whole people would rather be right than get it right.
Yeah.
And the thing I get nervous about is there's enough people that have gotten ahead of this thing that have said,
fans too. When the fans say, I think get rid of Frost, it's hard to go back to your group of buddies and say, you know what, like, keeping Frost is the right idea.
Right.
I think people do that and they don't like to go back on what
people don't
said.
Like when people put themselves out there and stake their flag in there, like LeBron James is blah. Scott Frost era is this.
Yeah.
It is hard. People never want to walk that back. And what concerns me is there's a lot of people that have put their flag in the ground of writing the obituary on this thing. And I just, I hope everyone can just allow it to, like, now we can ride the waves a little bit. Like, we, I mean, shit, me and you were upset. Like, you can ride the waves, but just be slow to, like,
slow to
write
blow.
It off. You know to what blow, I mean?
Like, just remember when it comes to blowing this thing up, just remember all the other times we've blown it up. And it's like, you want to blow it up? Maybe it's like Mike Riley comes back. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's
the thought of
when
blowing
you fire
it up, literally, like,
and then Mike Riley's hired and you go, well, why did we do that? It's like, because you wanted to blow it up. Because right. Bo Pelini won 9 games, but you didn't trust his temperament, whatever. Like, you blew it up before it needed to be blown up.
Right.
And they did the same thing with Frank Solic. Like, they blew it up winning 9 games. And I promise you, like, yeah, Frost's record right now, it's not.
No, it's bad.
But
I mean, but
his pedigree, his understanding of the state, I think it's such a unique, comes from such a unique position that, like, we said, give the guy time. Like, let's try to stick to that. Let's try to stick to the time we said. Because, like, to me, it's, oh God, I think it's a mistake to overreact and not see it through.
Can I bounce, like, 2 more things off you, and then we'll get out of here? I had a where the heck were these guys list. Sevion Morrison.
Did he get a carry?
No, he didn't get in the game by what I saw.
I don't know.
And they said he made the trip and was, I mean, he was your pick to be the guy.
I thought he was going to be the starter, and Gabe Irvin was clearly the
guy. There's a lot of people that were pegging him as the guy. So, Xavier Betts. This is a stupid question, and it probably is as simple, like, I wish, maybe I need, like, you can answer the question. Why can't, instead of Wyatt Lever, no disrespect, why can't that be Xavier Betts? Do they play a different position? I guess
there's no reason they would have to play.
I guess, like, why are you running Wyatt Lever on that wheel route in the end zone?
I mean,
Nick, again, it's a bad throw. I'm just saying, Nick, like,
I mean, it's probably
who has a better chance of making that catch.
I'm just saying, like, you're a guy that, like, there's a reason why, I mean, you were on the court at Kansas. They have McDonald's All Americans every year. But
you're,
like,
probably right. Yeah,
you got on there. Do you know why? You knew how to play the game,
right?
Like, you knew how the coach wanted you to play.
That's fair.
And
I
you
guess.
Did the just, things. That, to me, it's always got to be like somebody's not ready to be out there if they're not out there.
Yeah.
But that's all it is. I mean, Nick, that guy is physically, he's the guy you want out there.
But there's something.
There's a reason why he's not. Yeah. And it's usually he's not ready to do it.
Right. You're right.
And that's okay.
I just was like,
some guys need more time. He's only in his second year, right? He's a second year guy. Some guys take longer. And it's hard probably to just for people out there to go, well, I don't understand that.
Right. But, well, but I've always, like, said, I mean, this was the thing that I always told myself on why I didn't make it at Kansas, but, like, here's the thing. If you play the McDonald's All-American and he fails, people are going to blame the McDonald's All-American, not the coach. You play the unheralded 2-star walk-on, whatever, and he fails, people are going to blame the coach, not the unheralded 2-star walk-on. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So I think I'm falling victim to that a little bit as well.
Yeah. I just think of it as, like, there's always, like, when you're in those practices,
right? There's a reason.
There's always a reason. Always like, hey, you're an outside, you have to outside release. Hey, in this play,
right,
remember you're blocking down.
Right.
And if they if you can't count on them to do the things, right? Like, if you want to, who do you want to run the post and throw the ball to? Xavier Betts.
Right. But if he can't do all the other stuff,
there's other things that go into, like, hey, when we do the hurry up offense, do you know all the routes and all the checks and all, like,
yeah,
there's a lot to it. Some guys, it just takes longer.
Right. Omar Manning had 2 catches, I think.
Yeah, and that's good to see. It's good
at least
to see
he's out there. I mean, because
getting the ball.
Yeah, okay. The other thing, now, I guess I'm not as, you know, people are acting like Austin Allen, where it was the second coming of Rob Gronkowski, but it's like he, you know, his first catch came with 9 minutes to go in the game. If he's as good and as important as people expect him to be, probably got to get him more involved, I guess. But I'm not necessarily chugging the Austin Allen Kool-Aid either.
I think he's
fine. We do this to every tight end. People are like, man, Mike McNeil, man, Kyler Reed, man, you got to get, like, for some reason, every tight end's always like, you know, who's the next Tony Gonzalez? Fill in the blank and whoever the current tight end
is. I mean, it's just, Austin's good, but yeah, I mean, it's like, He's not like a bursty guy. He's just tall. He's a tall guy. So he's a good big target. But you know, sometimes I think to get somebody the ball a lot, they're usually somebody that gets separation.
Right.
Where he's more of a size guy, I would say.
Last guy I wrote down was I didn't see much from JoJo Doman. Did he have a good game? Was it just a quiet game?
Quiet game. It seemed like he was.
I just barely even noticed him out there.
I think he was out on the outside, and
sometimes that's how. Maybe I'm wrong. Sometimes in football, it just doesn't. Things don't come your way.
Defensively, sometimes you just don't.
You're at the mercy of like, yeah. So, but I wrote that down. Last thing we got here. I don't necessarily. I'm not one of those people that subscribes to like, you know, curses and karma gods and all that stuff, but like
I am.
It does feel like Nebraska is cursed, and it feels like you can trace the curse back to Frank Solich being fired. Yeah. In a ritual to somehow reverse the curse, get the football gods back on Nebraska's favorite. Does Nebraska need to bring Frank back? Like, as stupid as it sounds, I would right now, my number one school of thought is to call Frank Solich and say, we want to bring you to Lincoln, Nebraska, honor you for a game, and hope that like people can like,
what if we, Nick, that's actually the best idea. This is where we're at in Nebraska. This is the best idea I've heard so far. Should we start a campaign for that, to bring Frank back, but to be like specific, like Frank, we're doing this to honor you for what you've, you know, did as a coach here and as a player, but we want you to reverse the curse. Like it's a reverse the curse is a part of his like message. Like guys, this is reversing.
It's going to, it's going to take like everyone being like, we should have never done this to you, Frank. But here we are going to absolutely, yes. We're going to do almost like, you know, two submarines.
We need to burn like 20
sage and
what are like some, like, I mean, like,
sacrifice a corn
like
a stalk.
The 1 second from Texas, the, you know, like,
well, it's like the Ted Lasso where where they all brought something and they threw it in the fire. Phil Jackson did that at the end of The Last Dance.
We need to start
the state of Nebraska and its football program. They all need to bring their baggage. And we all need to burn it. And Frank Solich needs to be the one to light it all on fire.
We need to burn the 20 years of these bad snake. I mean, I'm just thinking like even my year, like you remember the Lakeven Smith fumble?
Yes, Texas Tech.
Texas Tech. Terrence Nunn fumble against Texas. Like these are the plays.
Niles Paul fumbling at the goal line against Iowa State in 2009.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
The 1 second, we could list a million different things.
And I mean, Frost, the lightning game, like we got to bring like a lightning bolt.
We
and, like
Raiden shows up. Yeah, Raiden shows up. I don't know if people enjoyed this, but like I wrote it. I'm like this curse. I believe if there is a curse, which it kind of feels like it, the only way to make it right is to incorporate Frank Solich in bringing him back. He needs to come back and be on the field at Memorial Stadium.
Yeah, think about this. So the Boston Red Sox curse was the curse of the Bambino. They trade Babe Ruth, I think, in 1919.
That's right? That was a year ahead of my mind.
1919, I think. It was almost, you know, 100 years. You know, like it was 80 or 90 years they had to deal with that, right? So, I think we should be proactive.
And I think it's all Frank. Frank is retired.
He's done. He's retired from Ohio. Like
he coached Trev. But he was on the coaching staff. Trev was there. He coached Frost. I think he would take that phone call now. And if Trev said, Frank, you were done wrong. And we all know it.
We want to bring you back. We need you to reverse the, because it is I think it's the Frank Solich curse.
That's what it feels like. It feels like from the moment that dude was fired, this program's been cursed.
Because we did a wrong. We did wrong by Frank. He won 9 games and he got fired. Mm-hmm. We did wrong that day. And I know we've been paying for it ever since. And
when you get Frank back and reverse the curse, are you with me?
Let's reverse the curse.
We got to reverse the curse. Let's do it. We're going to reverse the curse with Frank Solich. That was the last thing I wrote down for the pod. Okay.
Okay, there we go. 90 minutes. I feel better. I don't necessarily feel like Nebraska's not going to go. They're going to win every game.
We're winning next week, though. We've got
yeah.
Bring them in.
No, FCS, baby. But that, I know. Going to win next week. But this is what I like. I like talking out with you. I always feel better.
Yeah.
I always feel better after we talk. Okay. That's what we got to do here. This is good. This is good. Okay. So next week, Fordham, hopefully we're talking about a dub. We'll talk about a dub. And hopefully some things got corrected amongst that thing. And did you have Frank's number? You committed to Frank. You committed to Frank Solich. You got to have him. You need to call Frank. You call Frank. All right. You know what? We'll wrap up. Podbo's going to call Frank. That's what we're doing. All right. My thanks to Appella. If you're thinking about a new window or a new door, now is the time. Check them out online on the web at PellaOmaha.com. That's PellaOmaha.com. And my thanks to my good friends at Runza. Best fries on the planet. Great burgers. Cheese Runza. Delicious. The food is simply fantastic. Runza makes it all better.
A Huda Media Production.